Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're glad you're with us here today. We're going to read the readings that are from this Sunday's from today's readings, September 11th. And in a special way, you know, we remember this day as well, the great tragedy that happened in this country on September 11th. But it's these tragedies happen every day in our lives. And not to minimize that or in any way, shape, or form, but really to, you know, think about the life that we lead. Think about who we pray for and why we pray and why we believe in God. And can we and do we make an impact on our world with trying to spiritually heal, not only heal ourselves, but heal this world too. So in a very special way, please remember those loved ones that we have lost in September 11th and all the past wars and just the things that go on in our world. And to pray for those who have lost life, especially, you know, here in the Kalamazoo area, you know, the terrible loss of life that happens every day. And that we pray for those families and we pray for everyone that we may stand in the breach. And this is something that we're going to talk about today. The scriptures are all pointing to that. They're not only pointing to reconciliation, but who stands in the breach? Am I willing to be, you know, like Moses? And of course, Moses being a kind of a prefigurement of Jesus. Am I like Jesus? You know, am I part of the solution or am I part of the problem? Or do I create problems? And in a very special way of manhood too. Am I a man? Do I lead my family? Do I take responsibility for my family? So the readings today are the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and this is our first reading is from Exodus 32, and it goes 7 through 11, and then 12 is taken out mainly for time reasons. I think the church does that. We'll take out a piece of the scripture just during Mass to try to save time and to expedite through the Mass. And then it goes so 7 through 11 and then 13 through 14. So here we start with Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how a stiff-necked people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and all the land that I promised. I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So just a beautiful reading there from Exodus. So we think about that, and we're going to go back to that and do some comments on that and what the church teaching is on that. But our next reading is a New Testament reading from 1 Timothy 1, and this is 12 through 17. "Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy, in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but having been mercifully treated because I acted out of arrogance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these I am the foremost. But for that reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of the ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So another beautiful reading there from 1 Timothy. And our gospel reading is kind of a long reading. It's Luke 15, 1 through 32. And that's going to, so that's Luke 15, 1 through 32. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate, that it should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him and said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But the father ordered his servants quickly to bring the finest robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. 'Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back he neared the house, and he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A very beautiful gospel, one of the most beautiful gospels in Scripture, and very moving. You know, very moving. I sometimes think I find myself in this position too. You know, I was once that prodigal son, that lost son. See, there's two prodigals in the story in a lot of ways. You know, there's the righteous son who's done everything right, and there's the one that has seems to have done everything wrong, seems to have done everything wrong. Yet he is come to know God. Right, so we all come to know God in different ways, and let's recap these readings, the beautiful readings we have here today in front of us. Just another thing to mention, that you know, if you like what you're hearing on today's show, and you want to learn more about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo's website, which is diokzoo.org. You can, if you also want to listen to more things about the Catholic Church, you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. And you can listen to Catholic Radio on 91.5 FM in Kalamazoo, 89.7 in the Battle Creek area. And sometimes that signal, sometimes even the 89.7 comes in better in the Kalamazoo area, the surrounding areas, than sometimes the Kalamazoo, the 91.5 does. So, and then also in Grand Rapids, AM 1140 in Grand Rapids. But my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and I'm here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and I'm out of St. John Bosco Parish and Mattawan, St. Margaret Mary's and Marcellus, and soon to be St. Mary's and Pawpaw as well. I work out of those parishes. I have a regular job and in the business world, but I'm a deacon. I'm an ordained deacon in the Catholic Church as well. So as we look at today's readings, and these are the same readings. These readings are read all over the world. It's very beautiful that we have this prodigal son story. And actually prodigal son stories, right? And a couple things I want to touch on, and that is this fulfillment that we see here. And we see this Moses in the first reading from Exodus, you know, the classic story that we've always seen on TV with the Ten Commandments, where Moses comes down and Charlton Heston breaks the tablets and is upset with everyone. We think about this, but I recall and tell you what the Church teaches on this. But after this, and from the Catechism 2577, which is the teachings of the Church, the beautiful teachings of the Catholic Church, many areas the church has very defined and very good pathways on what the scriptures mean. Okay, we have over 30, 40, 50,000 different Christian churches now, and thanks be to God for the Catholic Church, because this 2,000 years of history of just really going over these scriptures over and over again of what the meaning of all of these are, and the best way that we can as human beings to derive of what God is saying to us. But in a very powerful way, God is asking us today, and the church is saying, and this is what the church is saying on this, and this is from the Catechism 2577. But it is after their apostasy, after leaving God, that Moses stands in the breach before God in order to save the people. See? So Moses, God's ready to destroy everything, right? God's ready to start over again. You know, this isn't working out, I'm going to start over again. But this is relationship with God. Moses has this relationship with God, talking with God, asking God, you know, let me try to do this, let me try to do that. You know, and God is really calling all of us to do this. Just like God calls us to be like Jesus. Doesn't call us to be Jesus, calls us to be like Jesus in the sense of this standing in the breach. Okay? So we think about that, this standing in the breach, and it can be a very, you know, you can get a lot of criticism for that, you know, trying to tell someone what the truth is, trying to minister to our children, and as time goes on, it becomes harder and harder because we see people who just say, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And in a lot of ways, we have to see and reflect upon, how am I loving them? You know, am I only loving them when they agree with me? See? Or am I loving them no matter what? Or am I loving them because God loves me? God has shown me that love. So to stand in the breach as Moses did, you know, and even more so at the fulfilled level, and we'll see that in the gospel, at a fulfilled level, willing to stand in the breach to the point of your own death, my own death, my own crucifixion, my own sacrifice. See? And that's what we're called to do as Christians. So the church showing us this standing in the breach, the catechism talks about that. And then in our second reading in Timothy, you know, Paul and God makes it very clear that, and it says in the catechism 545 in the catechism, it says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. See? So, just like this prodigal son, which we're going to talk about just a minute here, you know, you have the righteous son who stays at home and does everything, you know, he thinks he's doing everything exactly what he's supposed to. But then you have the sinner. And who has the greater relationship with God? The one who has confessed his sinfulness? The one who has totally surrendered? Or is it the one who thinks they manipulate God? They tell God what to do. We talked about that a little bit last week. You know, that I decide. I decide what God is like. I decide who to love. I decide who to pray for. I decide this. I decide that. No. You do not decide. God decides to be like Moses, to be like Jesus. You become a servant. You become this servant for God. You become like Jesus to the very point of death. And then the next, and then into the gospel reading. Of course, in the gospel reading, the church has many teachings on this, more than we could possibly cover in this period of time, because we only have about 7 or 8 minutes left. But it's, let's see, 12 different teachings. 12 different teachings out of the catechism on just this piece of scripture. But overwhelmingly, what it's about is it's about reconciliation. It's about coming back to the church. It's about reconciling with God. instead of finding fault with God. And you see that sometimes, you know, we blame God for things. And it's not God's fault. This is the world we live in. It's a beautiful place in a lot of ways. But the great sadness that befalls us very, very often, especially with this anniversary of 9/11, that we want to blame, we want to strike back, but really the answer for us is where can I stand in the breach? Where can I intercede? Where can I intercede for others, to pray for others, to pray for people of other religions, to pray for people of other countries, to pray for people who have no belief in God at all? Or even more so yet, my brothers and sisters, pray for people who don't fully know who Jesus Christ is, who this Trinity, this family, this beautiful family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, many of our Christian churches, you know, get to enjoy the Word of God, but not fully God, not fully Jesus, to receive Holy Communion. You know, the Word of God that we do on this radio program is very nice and very good, but it is not the fulfillment. It is not the source and summit. The source and summit is the Eucharist. The source and summit comes after this, you know, comes after this. This Eucharist, as we get done with the Word, as we get done with the preaching, we go into the liturgy of the Eucharist to receive Holy Communion. And we do all those prayers with the priest acting persona in Christe, and turns that wine and that bread, those simple things, into the body and blood of Christ. So just a beautiful thing for us to think about there. And so, you know, if you've been away from the church for a while, you think about this reconciliation, returning home. You know, that God invites us back to come back home to reconciliation. And what this, the key thing here is really this spiritual resurrection, this restoration of our own dignity. You know, there's this beautiful painting by Rembrandt of the prodigal son. Many people have seen it. And I know downtown the bishop has a copy of this in his office, of the prodigal son. And it was painted by Rembrandt in 1669. Rembrandt painted this. And he also painted another picture in 1635, which was called The Prodigal in the Brothel. See? And so from 1635, right, being a young man, and of course it shows the prodigal son, he's got a big glass of beer, and he's got a pretty girl sitting on his lap, and he's having a good time. But as his life progresses, as he goes through his life, he finds that it is for naught, right? That this does not fulfill. The addiction to drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or any of these things or money or things or material possessions just does not fulfill what we need. And what we need is we need the love of God. We need the love of God in our lives. And sadly enough, you know, Rembrandt died that very same year, October 4th. So in kind of a certain way, you know, maybe this October 4th, we send up some prayers to our fellow Christian brother Rembrandt and ask him, you know, to pray for us and for us to pray for him as well. You know, but so we think about this reconciliation. We can, and the church talks about all of these things, that Jesus receives the sinner, that the gospel is the full revelation, that this gospel is mercy for sinners. Mercy for us, mercy for you and me, okay? And this joy that's in heaven over one sinner repenting, which means this is real. They see what's going on here. The angels are rejoicing over us surrendering, okay? All the years that I was addicted to alcohol, all the years that I was addicted to self, you know, and breaking the bonds of that. Only through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, but also through doing the footwork too. You know, you got to show up for meetings. You got to show up for church. You got to go to reconciliation. It's not God's fault. God's not going to reach down through the roof of your house and pull you out and transport you to a meeting or your counselor's office or to a marriage counselor or anything like that. You have to do the work. You have to do the work. That's what we're here for. Not only to do the work for ourselves, but to do the work for God. And that's the next step. Once we do that work for ourselves, then we can reach out and help others and do this magnificent work. Do this magnificent work of God, reaching out and touching others, helping to save their lives, helping to save their very souls. Yes. Not through what you do or what I do, but through what God does. That I stand in the breach, that I have that courage. But I'm prepared. I have reconciled with God. I have cleaned house, okay? So to speak, you know? I've cleaned house. And so, you know, as we go through this week, you know, let us think about, you know, what I'm doing in my life. Have I returned to God? Have I forgiven myself? You know, have I reconciled these feelings that I have towards God? You know, many people get angry when death happens or when divorce happens, which is a type of death. And I'm not telling anyone to get over it or anything like that. Nothing. No. But what I'm saying is this, is that do not blame God. Do not blame God. Talk about these things. Heal from these things. Become like the prodigal son. See? Prodigal son knew that in some small way this grace comes upon him, that he comes back. You know, to be like that. You know, the other prodigal son, the righteous son, you know, who stands there in judgment, we don't want to be that person either. See? There's these two extremes. And to balance these things out, and who is the balance? Who is standing in this breach of these two sons but God himself? See? And even in that picture, you know, Rembrandt paints this picture of the woman standing in the background, standing in the shadows, watching these men, watching the men that are in her life, hoping that everything works out, praying that everything works out. So my brothers and sisters, as we go through this week, please pray for everyone. Pray for everyone, even those people, especially those people who you don't want to pray for. Pray for them. Ask for healing, for love, that they may enjoy the love of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the faith of the Holy Catholic Church. May Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.